Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode of Fat Mascara is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small. Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest. Plus, it can help you develop coping skills that make your life easier. I will give you an example. If you've listened to this podcast for a while, you've probably heard me say it to Jess or to a guest, reframe. Well, I learned that technique from a therapist. Here's an example. Now that I'm a freelance writer and podcaster, I get lonely working from home, and I feel like I'm never going to get to collaborate on projects again. And that's the truth. Reframe, I get to choose which projects I work on, so I'm in control of what I work on. And if I want to collaborate more with others, I don't have to ask anyone's permission. I can just do it. See what I did there? That's reframing. If you've been thinking about starting therapy or are looking for someone to help you process things and give you coping skills, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/mascara today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/mascara. Again, BetterHelp.com/mascara. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Fat Mascara. I'm Jen. Listen, we have a great interview for you this Wednesday. It's with Gucci Westman. But before we get into that, Jess and I have some fun news. So on Saturday, June 11th, from 1 to 2 p.m., we will be in residence, if you will, at Energy, which is an event space in Soho. I'll put all the details in the show notes. But basically, Dermalogica is celebrating the launch of a new product called Daily Milk Foliant, which comes out on June 9th. And they'll have this event to celebrate it in New York City on Saturday, June 11th and Sunday, June 12th. Now, we'll be there on Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m., hanging out and talking all things skincare and exfoliation and interviewing a special guest in a mini live version of the podcast. So we would love to have you there. Please come. The event takes place at Energy. Like I said, that's an event space at 182 Lafayette Street in New York City. It's free. It's fun. We'll hang. The whole fam will be there. Again, it's Saturday, June 11th from 1 to 2 p.m. Check the show notes for all the details. Now, on to the interview. So this was an interview with makeup artist Gucci Westman that Jess recorded in the spring of 2019. I was not there for this interview because I was busy getting married, but her co-interviewer is none other than Tiffany Suknandan. Remember her, intern Tiff? So before we get into that, quick update on intern Tiff, in case you were wondering. She now works for Dr. Shireen Idris, the Pillow Talk Derm. So you might see her from time to time if you follow Pillow Talk Derm on social media. That's Tiff. Yes, the Tiff we know and love. And now as for Gucci Westman, wow, her brand is on fire. It came up quite a few times on the show recently. A couple people were recommending products from it. And I thought it would be a good time to check in with her. So we decided to rerun this interview. Again, it's a rerun because You know, as I'm recording this, I'm about to go on vacation. Jess is busy working. We'll be back next week with fresh new interviews. But for now, hang out with Gucci. She is, of course, a makeup artist, the co-founder of the brand Westman Atelier. She's worked with tons of celebrities over the years. She was the artistic director for Lancôme and Revlon before she started Westman Atelier in 2018. So I'm going to hand it over to Jess, Tiff, and Gucci. Hope you enjoy.
Okay, Tiff and I are here with Gucci Westman, the celebrity and editorial makeup artist synonymous with dewy, fresh skin and a cool, fashion-y approach to beauty. So she's also the founder of the new luxury makeup line, Westman Atelier. Welcome, Gucci.
Thank you. This is so cool. Everybody freaked out when I got asked to do this. They were like, fat mascara. Oh my God, it's like the best one.
Oh, that makes us feel great. Yeah. Thank you. I'm a fan. So I have to start off. Gucci Westman, it sounds like your name is just like destined for fabulosity. Is Gucci your real name?
No, it's not actually. So does that make me less destined?
No. You've grown into it, I guess. Well, what's the deal?
It is. I mean, it does feel like my real name in the sense that it's been my name since I was about two.
Oh, wow.
And
okay, you own it long enough.
It's yours. You know, it has nothing to do with any trends or thank God for that. But I actually was born with the name Chelsea. And then we moved into an ashram when I was 2 years old, a Kundalini ashram in California. And you get given names at the ashram. And my given name was Guru Charan, which means he who sits at the lotus feet of the guru. Not even she, but he.
Wow.
And it was a nickname that a friend of my parents gave me. And he named his daughter Googie.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Back to the ashram.
I got Gucci. I think I scored.
So what was it like? I mean, this is such a big, vague question, but most people did not grow up on an ashram. Were your parents very into like yoga or spirituality?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My dad to this day does. He wakes up at 5 a.m. every day and meditates and does yoga. He worked with Maharishi to spread TM.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. It's pretty
cool. Do you do TM?
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm not going to ask you what your word is, but I hear you're given a word, right? A mantra?
So I didn't actually, this sounds so ignorant, but I didn't realize because I grew up with my dad always meditating in the backyard, you know, and he built a teepee. We actually lived in Sweden from 10 to 25.
Oh, wow.
Because my dad is Swedish and he built this teepee in the back of our, you know, garden. And he would sit there for hours. And I had no idea, you know, what style of meditation. I had no interest, of course. Mm-hmm. I was too self-absorbed being, you know, a teenager and everything. And he asked me maybe 5 years ago if I was meditating. And I said, yeah. And he said, oh, okay, I can tell. And I was like, oh, that's good. I just actually took a TM course. And he said, oh, that's great. What do you think? And I said, I really like it. I think it's, you know, it's really sort of conducive to people who are a little bit busier and a little bit, you know, filled with more thoughts and anxiety maybe. And I asked, so what is your meditation you do? I've never asked that.
And TM is, just for anyone who doesn't know, is transcendental meditation.
Yes.
Okay, sorry, keep going.
So he said, oh, I do TM. And I was like, you do? And I was like, that's the meditation you practice? And he said, yes. And I actually worked with the Maharishi to spread TM. And I said, do you have a mantra? And he said, I have three. So I was
How did he get the extra two?
He's been doing it for so long.
That's fascinating.
I don't know. He does it for a long time. And he also has been doing it for so many years.
That's so funny. So you said you've been taking like lessons, like you were paying someone for
TM. To teach me and my dad.
But your dad just spread TM all over the world.
Yeah. Well, not all over the world. It was, I think, it was from India, Sweden or something, LA. I can't remember exactly. I was just so shocked that I didn't remember the details.
I have to tell you, we've done a lot of interviews I haven't heard about, you know, with people coming from different backgrounds.
Yep.
And, you know, it's nice because they're usually surprising. They're usually very different than, you know, what you think.
Yeah.
But this one I haven't heard.
That's a little, keep you a little bit like on your toes today.
a friend of mine is always telling me I should do TM.
Yeah.
And like, obviously you'd recommend it, but why, just for our listeners, why might they want to?
I think they actually modified it according to my dad in later years. So it would be easier for people who are very busy to incorporate into their lives. And the idea is that you basically don't kind of judge yourself or your thoughts, but you have this mantra. It's a 20-minute session in the morning and then the afternoon. And it's basically kind of like your stream of consciousness will start coming up to the surface. And it's basically you're releasing stress.
It's interesting. You said that he noticed that you had been...
I know.
Yeah, that you can really tell like a visible, like visceral benefit from it.
Yeah, I don't want to go on too long about this, but my husband had also, he was trained in TM. He did the course and he lies down when we meditate in the morning. And I sit up and he lies down. And I asked him the first time, I was like, you're supposed to sit up. How come you're not sitting up? And he said, oh, Bob Roth, who taught him, who's really pretty known in TM, he said he didn't have to, that he could lie down if he wanted to. And also at the end when David was trying to pay, he said, oh, no, you have a beautiful soul. You don't have to pay. This is my treat to you.
Oh, wow.
I know. Okay. I was like, you didn't do that to me.
I don't know if I'd have the same pull with Bob.
Yeah.
So let's shift to beauty for a moment.
Yes.
You did go to beauty school, right? Didn't you go to like a proper beauty school?
Not a beauty school per se.
Cosmetology.
I went to a really, really fantastic makeup school in Paris.
Okay.
And the reason, actually, I thought I was going to be a translator or a, you know, a professional show jumper.
What's a show jumper? Oh, like
riding.
Riding
horses.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was an au pair when I was 18 years old in Switzerland. And I got really into beauty, actually, at that point. Before, I was also interested. But at that point, she brought me to the woman, the mother and the family brought me to fashion shows and really got me sort of kind of crazy about the romance of these, you know, this translation of these designers' looks and everything and how powerful
was
it was.
This totally new to you? Was it like opening up a whole window?
Completely.
So imagine
new.
This is like kind of a posh family or at least like artsy.
They were pretty posh. Yeah. Her parents were quite, you know, successful family in this little town in Switzerland in Neuchâtel. And she started, this was what sealed the deal. She started giving me boxes and boxes of makeup because everybody sent her so much and she didn't wear any. So she just gave it to me. And I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
And so I became very mesmerized and I said, you know, I think I may want to go to makeup school. But if I'm not good, I'd rather do it in French so I don't waste my time because I don't know if I'm going to be good enough.
Wait, why would you want to do it in French?
Because I went to Switzerland to be
an au pair
for my French.
Okay, got it.
I didn't express that. But I wanted to be a translator, I thought, at some point. So I was working on my languages. I studied languages in school. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, okay, at least, you know, if I'm not good at makeup, I wouldn't have wasted my time because it's in French.
Totally.
So I ended up going to that school, not at the time I was, you know, I thought. I ended up going maybe 4 years later. I had a little break, went back to Sweden, traveled a bit, and then I went.
Okay. So what did you learn about, a lot of the guests that we have, everyone has a different story, but I'm fascinated by so many of the makeup artists there, and even hairstylists too, they're self-taught. Mm-hmm. You are, you know, formally trained. Do you feel like there's a difference or do you feel, what did that give to you?
I mean, I think that, you know, to be honest, it gives you a bit of a foundation. At the end of the day, when you're an artist, however, it's all about the amount of time you put in, the experiences you have, and learning from your mistakes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It really is, because there's so much that's not applied in the classroom, you know, that you would never experience on a shoot.
Right.
You know,
right,
they don't really... There's no synergy between the two in some ways. You can't just think, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to create? Look number five? Mm-hmm, you know, it's not really like that for a Vogue shoot or something like that. It's more intuitive. You have to have a certain amount of creative flow. Mm-hmm. And you also have to be very sensitive to the dynamics of everybody involved.
Completely.
And know your place and know when you need to step forward and when you need to step back and... so many things.
That you can't learn in the classroom.
No. Yeah. I'm grateful that I did it, and it was a really interesting experience. And I think that something there was a bit of a catalyst and a drive for me, because I remember one day, it was a big school, actually, and a lot of the students were Asian. A lot of, you know, boys and girls, or, you know, both sexes. Mm-hmm. And one day, one of the teachers said, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, this is an industry for homosexual men.
Wow.
And I just thought, I was like, did I understand that correctly? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. In French, you know, maybe I thought.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was what she said. And that sort of stuck with me and put a little fire in my belly. And I thought, really? That's kind of a generalization. There's some, you know, maybe a little bit of truth to it. At some point there was, or there, but I don't.
But not right now. No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think it's, you know.
Well, that's encouraging for everyone. But I also wondered, you know, we have a lot of listeners in the show who are budding makeup artists.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that they need to go to school? Because
no,
they don't. Okay, that's, again, more reassurance, because
no,
we get DMs about that all the time.
I don't
think
so.
Which is the best makeup school.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessary, especially not now with all the social outlets and mm-hmm, all of these mm-hmm. platforms that showcase such detailed work and how empowering it is for people to try things on themselves, make mistakes on themselves, try. And actually, the best thing about makeup school, I think, weirdly, was learning how people's fingers, how it feels on your skin, and how to be, you know, a
being
little
on the
bit
other foot, okay,
aware of people touching you and your space and somebody else's space, you know?
Now, once you started working, I understand that you started working in films, right?
I did, yeah. I actually went to a really bad makeup school after the really great makeup school.
Uh-huh.
It was a 10-week program. After 2 weeks, they asked me to teach at the school, which...
2 weeks?
Yeah. Also, the advice they gave us, they were like, okay, you need a tackle box, a fish tackle box, and a director's chair and a light.
Those like
were
a skit.
Exactly. Those were the things that they advised us to buy as budding makeup artists. I mean, you're kind of on your own and you're like, what do I do? They said, oh, you know, check out the Hollywood Reporter and look for ads. And it was really...
It's frightening.
There was absolutely no value to any of that program. And I say it all the time because I would never want anyone to waste money on it.
But then, so you start working in films, like right around that time?
Well, it was a little bit of a process. I actually didn't have any work for a while. And I did, you know, some deferred payment
mm-hmm.
type of American Film Institute projects that I did, like I did the continuity. I did the hair. I did the makeup. Mm. I did the styling. I did the craft service for free.
Wow.
And it's all about the experience in my mind. And I actually never remember getting paid very much the first few years of my career, and that was never my objective, to earn tons of money. I thought, I need the experience. It doesn't matter the payment. And also, when I started assisting people, I was too shy to ask about the money, and I thought that maybe the agent would just pay me, or, you know, and I just never asked, so I never got paid. And I didn't know how that really worked. During, you know, the first couple of months, I didn't really have any work at all that was paying. And I remember allowing myself one latte per week. And, you know, we lived in this kind of like government assist housing, because the two girls I was living with, their previous home was destroyed in the earthquake. So they found something for $300.
Wow.
So we, two of us, shared a room. The other girl always got the biggest bedroom, who was alone. And then we always had like 10 other people staying with us. And no one ever wanted to buy toilet paper. It was like
it was like an artist colony.
Yeah, it was so fun though. But then I met a stylist named Casey Storm, and he said, "Oh, you have to meet my friend Spike Jones."
Oh my gosh!
And I was like, "Yeah, I would love to meet him." I didn't really know exactly
what was he working on around that time.
He was doing mostly music videos and really great Nike and Levi's commercials, and. So I met with him in a room. I remember I was kind of nervous, and he was just like sitting and nodding his head and saying like, cool, cool. It's exactly actually how you would imagine
him
to be.
That's how I picture him being.
Yeah.
Just like a groovy dude.
Yeah. So he really didn't say that much. And I didn't really think that it went that well because he didn't ask me anything specific or of mm-hmm. significance, I thought. And then next thing I knew, he asked me to do everything.
What kind of projects with Spike were you working on? Like what kind of movies?
I did
commercials, videos.
I did a lot of commercials, a lot of videos. I mean, it was so fun.
So how did you...
I did Being John Malkovich.
Oh, well,
he had to convince me to do that.
I mean, that's like you need your PhD in makeup artistry to do that. I haven't seen it like 10 years. Like Cameron Diaz, like old, right? She looked like a hot mess in that movie.
Yeah, she did. We did.
She's how do you make someone that gorgeous look that?
Well, we all did some research, and we wanted it to. It was supposed to take place in New Jersey, and we did some research and we went to some malls in New Jersey and we all came back
I'm from
back
New
with
Jersey
ideas.
And I can say we've got a lot of material for you, a lot of inspiration.
Yeah, we found some good looks. Yeah. So and that was actually just prior to that I had done Buffalo 66.
Oh my God, Christina Ricci's eyeliner in that.
Yeah, the blue eyeshadow.
Yes. Yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
And the silver sparkles. Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, so,
except eyeshadow, excuse me.
Yeah,
wow,
no, but
okay.
She had black eyeliner, but the blue shadow was actually, I did an interview about that the other day, which is so weird because it's so long ago. But I did that first, and that was a pretty traumatic experience for a lot of people involved in that movie. And
making of the movie?
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough. But it was, I'm great. I'm happy that I did it in the end.
People love that movie.
Yeah, it was.
And that look is very iconic. So how did you parlay all of this into fashion? Like, tell us about, you know what, I think of Gucci Westman, I do think of, you know, high fashion editorial makeup.
Just before I turned 30, I decided I didn't want to live in LA anymore. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to just work with actresses and do movies and things like that. It wasn't for me. I felt that it was a little bit insular focused and I wanted to explore. And I actually still remembered going to fashion shows in Paris. And I still felt that kind of, oh, I just want to see if, you know, there's a little something in me, a little twinkle that's making me want to explore that. And I had no, obviously, idea how it was going to go. Moving to New York, I went out on a whim and I got an apartment in the East Village with Tatiana Petites, you know, the model.
Oh, the model. Mm-hmm. So were you guys buddies from before?
Yeah. So okay. We shared an apartment on the fourth floor.
She was in the George Michael Freedom video for those who just want to have a gander at Tatiana.
Yes, okay. She was. And we lived on the fourth floor walk up. It was such a dump. And she had a bad back, so she made me carry all her stuff on. I used to actually pay people outside to help me carry my bag up.
Wow.
Because my makeup bag.
Your kit?
Yeah.
Four flights of stairs?
Yeah.
Yeah, in New York.
So I came to New York not really knowing what the outcome was going to be. Mm-hmm. And I had worked actually a bit with Bruce Weber and Annie Leibovitz in L.A. so that I had a little bit of an introduction. We had done Italian Vogue and I did some things with Vanity Fair with mm-hmm. Annie, and I ended up doing a cover of Vanity Fair with her.
Which who was on the cover?
It was the athletes for the Olympics.
Okay, yeah.
So that was in the 90s, and she canceled. I was supposed to do special effects for a mountain biker, and I had all this different type of mud prepared, and I was going to show her. You know, I showed her all of what I had prepared, and she I think she was like kind of impressed. So she canceled the other makeup artist and I did everyone. And
do you think it was because you prepared the mud? You went the extra mile?
Yeah, I really went. That's all I ever wanted to do was think ahead. Think mm-hmm. ahead of like, what would that next move be?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And how can I not become replaceable? Those were, you know, because we all are very replaceable.
Do you still, I mean, I know that you, and we're going to talk about Westman in a bit, but you know, when you are working right before you started focusing on Westman, are you still like that? Like, you're still bringing weird things to the table? Like not mud, but it's interesting. I kind of feel like a lot of makeup artists who are at your stature, they can come in, put on like a bomb, put on, you know, a brow gel, and it's like genius. Do you feel, I'm not naming names, but I think like there is a kind of, you're a celebrity. You are, you know, so I would think you wouldn't have to work that hard all the time.
Well, I think you...
You know what I mean.
You're always actually, but you're always, I think in this industry especially, you're always in a gray area when it comes to your success mm-hmm. and the knowledge of success. Like, what is success? You know, because
yeah,
I think it's...
That's a bigger question.
I think it's easy to get to the top. I don't know how easy it is to stay there. And, you know, that's the tricky part. That's where you have to sacrifice a lot of family time, a lot of, you know, a lot of things come into play. And it's challenging, you know. You always, it's a finicky, fickle business.
Like juggling, it's funny you mentioned the family time. Like, you know, you have a family. You were doing all these celebrities. I'm sure you were traveling a lot.
Yeah,
I mean, this, like,
yeah.
I know you enjoy it, but maintain where you were. And then I remember you took like a minute and you were working with brands, right?
Yeah,
like Lancome,
yeah.
Revlon. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
Yeah, I during my like super, super busiest time, I got called by Lancome and they wanted me to be their creative director. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. But I wasn't that excited because what excited me the most at that point was creating editorial images.
And at this point, you're working with everyone,
yeah,
right? You're
everyone.
In Vogue mm-hmm. every single month.
Yeah. I mean, there's about a year where I had almost every single cover of Vogue. It was like 9 months or something.
And
like that.
Do you attest that to your aesthetic or that Anna really liked you or the way you worked with talent? What's sort of your...
I think Grace Coddington, I owe her mm-hmm. most of that, actually, because we did one particular shoot that she just adored. And she then after the shoot said to me, I didn't even think she liked me, to be honest. I had no idea. And we were all traveling from an airport together. We were in L.A., but I was at a different terminal. Mm-hmm. And she got out of the van and I thought she was just going to say, you know, see ya, beat it, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she said, you know, I haven't seen talent like that since Pat McGrath, since I discovered her. And I want you to be on my part of my team, you and Julianne Dees. And I was like, what? And then I was speechless. I couldn't even, you know, I just thought, I didn't even know if she
liked
me.
It's a career changer.
I swear on my life.
Yeah.
And then...
Was she just kind of aloof? Like, was she like aloof fashion person?
She's a little tough.
She's not warm and fuzzy.
No.
Okay.
She's not, there's nothing, there's nothing fake about her. She's very direct and mm-hmm, very, mm-hmm. but she's not that forward coming in the moment. She takes her time and does it in her own way. But she... That was on a Friday, and on the Monday I had probably 10 Vogue options with all the other editors, and
wow,
and it was you know,
overnight career changer.
Yeah, pretty mm-hmm. much. And I worked with Grace, with everybody, with Steven Meisel, with Matt and Marcus, with everybody mm-hmm. I ever could have dreamt of.
So obviously this is keeping you really busy, and then you get the call from Lancome. You did take the job.
I did take the job, and it was a really wonderful, very inspiring, empowering experience. But I still felt that it was taking me away from my editorial work. I did mm-hmm. inevitably miss some covers and things like that. I had it in my contract that if I had a Vogue cover or a certain job of a certain stature, that I was mm-hmm. able to reschedule the Lancome date.
Okay.
And they were okay with that, which was great. And they were such a lovely place to sort of L'Oreal Lancome. That it was really, really wonderful. I was so inspired the entire time. They really respect artistry.
Mm-hmm. And then you went to Revlon. Mm-hmm. I mean, not like, you know, back to back. But what was that like? Because you are such a luxury person with just your, you know, CV. And of course, the line that you have now, it's so interesting that you've lent your talents to Revlon.
Yeah.
What was the impetus there?
Well,
I mean, I'm sure they made you a good offer, but.
Yeah, well, I left Lancome. Actually, it was mostly because I couldn't travel so much anymore. My contract was out of Paris, and I had one child. I was pregnant with the next, and I was just remembering being in a meeting and them telling me I was going to India, and they didn't know I was pregnant yet. And then I was like, oh, my God, this is going to be so complicated. And then I decided I had to just you know, maybe restructure my work and do more editorial and not travel as much and do, you know, have it be so focused on overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it was about a week I didn't have anything. And I was like remembering walking around the West Village thinking, oh, my God, what did I do?
Mm.
Was that the right move? And then Revlon called and that was a yeah, it was a kind of a contract I couldn't really turn down. And it was very different, you know, it was...
Yeah, like, what worked from the Revlon thing? I remember one palette. Was it Skin Lights? Did you do a Skin Lights thing or no?
I did these Illuminance palettes. I did one called Not Just Nudes that was really good.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't... I didn't have, you know, the same... It was just a different... With Lancome, I got to do exactly what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And I never had to compromise. They let me decide. I was in control of so many things. And Revlon, they actually hadn't ever had experience with a makeup artist as creative director before. Mm-hmm. So they didn't really know how to use me to my fullest potential.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they didn't know how I love doing press. I genuinely love talking to people about things that I'm passionate about and sharing stories and sharing information. So they didn't, it took them a really long time to sort of understand how to use me.
Yeah, and understand what you do and what you can do.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a different type of experience because it was almost as if I was educating them for part of the time. You know, on do this, you can do this with me. I was almost like I can sing, I can dance.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but I'm, you know, I think that that experience was really valuable also because it's a different market. You know, the mass market is very different and it's a different customer.
In a nutshell, how is the mass market different? Because I feel like women shop high low, men too, shop high low now. So I know it was a few years ago, but what was the key difference that you recognized?
I think there's a different, they just look for, there's a different type of experience. You know, it's mm-hmm. not necessarily the feeling of the validation of holding something,
mm-hmm.
you know, that makes you feel a certain way. It's that's maybe coming from somewhere else in, you know, in their kind of idea. They, I think maybe that it's just different priorities,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
because I shop high-low too. I love, you know, pharmacies. Mm-hmm. I think it's,
yeah.
you can find the greatest thing in pharmacies. But at the same time, I love holding a nice object and I love how it makes me feel.
Right. It's exactly. It's not just the payoff of the color. I mean, that's part of it too, but you covet the object. It's mm-hmm. it's like a fetish object.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that the mass customer has maybe certain things that she really wants to spend her money on. And I respect that. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's a very savvy customer, mm-hmm. you know, and it's you know, you can also certainly play around more. You can get more for your money.
Yeah. Well, Westman Atelier is definitely more of the object moment. So why did you decide to create Westman Atelier?
I love product development. I love products. I love sharing information. And it's actually, I'm happy you asked me about my name because I was going to say that, you know, since I had all of this experience with other companies and I was fortunate enough to work with their labs quite intimately, yeah. especially with Lancome, I was with their labs outside of Paris every visit, every few weeks. I was always there working with them so closely. We went for dinner with the chemist. It was very sort of hands-on.
It was a partnership.
It was a partnership and I learned so much. It was so rewarding. And for me, I always wanted to create my own brand and I needed to sort of identify what that was going to be. And initially I thought, I have to do an organic line, you know.
How long had you been thinking about this? Like how long has this been germinating?
For so long.
Really?
Yeah, but there's so much that during the ideology of a brand creation, there's so much more that is involved than you think. Because when you start getting into the minutiae,
mm-hmm.
there's nothing that can be sort of surfacey.
Yeah.
But I was just going to say that the reason I brought up my name thing
oh,
is
yeah.
because it's very natural that I would create a brand that was so focused on ingredients and active ingredients and the efficacy of the ingredients and the clean idea. It all comes from my upbringing because we grew up vegetarian, always learning so much about ingredients and what are we eating? What is that? My parents made their own cheese, their own butter.
Their own cheese? Wow.
Yeah. So it's not a trend for me. It's very sort of an extension of my life, you know?
Yeah. We were talking about that earlier, like what does clean mean? And I feel like a lot of brands are just kind of adopting that word and, mm-hmm. you know.
It's a trend.
It is a trend. But when there are brands and people who actually have been doing it. I mean, listen, if you want to go clean overnight, I don't think there's nothing wrong with suddenly making an improvement in your life
or getting more conscious.
That's always trusting up.
Yeah.
But I do think it's so interesting that clean is now this buzzword.
Hey everyone, it's Jen, and I have decided this is going to be the summer of uniform dressing. I'm going to have a few pieces on heavy rotation, and I'm telling you right now, they're all going to be linen, and they're all going to be from Quince. I don't know why I'm going so hard on linen right now, but it just feels right. And Quince specializes in timeless pieces made of premium fabric, and the best part is that all the Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. I am personally very into the 100% European linen pants. They're cropped and easy. There's even a cute pinstriped version. And when I wear them, I look like I just stepped off a yacht. Do I have a yacht? No. Do I know what yachters wear? No, but that's the vibe. The linen pants come in sizes extra small to 3X, and they're less than $40. Okay, like 10 cents less. They're $39.90. But the quality is excellent, and they wash really well. How does Quince do it? They cut out the cost of the middleman and pass the savings on to us. Plus, Quince works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/fatmascara for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com, Q-U-I-N-C-E, quince.com/fatmascara to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/fatmascara. Summer is fast approaching, which means it's shapewear season. Just kidding. It's really wedding season. But I just got an invitation to a wedding in Philadelphia, and guess what I'll be wearing? Honey Love. I'm not sure about the rest of the outfit or the dress, but the shapewear is going to be Honey Love. Here's why. Honey Love has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating when you're wearing shapewear. Plus, they have lingerie-inspired design details that you'll want to show off, and all their fabrics are breathable to keep you nice and cool, which is perfect for hot days. Let me tell you a story. I remember being at a wedding, this was a few years ago, pre-Honeylove, and I wore a jumpsuit, and I wasn't sure if the bathroom door locked well, but I had to take off the entire jumpsuit and then roll down the shapewear to pee, and I was like holding onto the back of the door at the same time, completely naked in the bathroom, and it took so long, and I caused this whole backup of the bathroom line, and after that, I was like, never again. Until Honeylove came along. Honeylove's superpower shorts have a 100% cotton gusset so you don't have to wear underwear underneath. And there's a convenient opening in the underwear area so you don't have to take off the whole thing to go to the bathroom. It's so easy. Honeylove products make you look good and feel good. Whether it's for a wedding, event, an everyday boost of confidence, Honeylove is the perfect plus one. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/mascara. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. That's honeylove.com/mascara. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. honeylove.com/mascara for 20% off. The summer vibes are just getting started, so shape your life with Honeylove.
Okay, everyone, I am one of those people who, when it comes to wellness, sorry, but it's got to fit into the pockets of my day. 5 minutes here, 7 minutes there, when I'm like in the kitchen and I'm microwaving something long, it's got to be convenient. And that is why Alo Moves works for me. My mindset has changed. The app makes it easy for me to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place and bite-sized little bits. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, so much more. From beginner to advanced, Alo Moves has the flow or class that's going to fit into your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what you're feeling that day.
You know what feeling I'm feeling most days? I'm feeling 10 minutes. I've been doing Joanna Thompson's. Right? That's about it.
Yeah, that's good.
10 minutes. Joanna Thompson does these yoga lattes in 10. One day will be abs. One day will be arms. Today, Jess, is booty day. And we're just going to get it done. All in 10 minutes. If you're trying to get a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like the sweat-inducing yoga flows or the reformer Pilates workouts without weights. You can also find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, learn to do dry brushing. How many times have we talked about dry brushing on this podcast? Alo Moves will teach you how to do it.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Alo Moves. Go to alomoves.com now and use the code MASCARA20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's alomoves.com, code MASCARA20. alomoves.com, code MASCARA20.
Now, I know that Tiff had some questions, too. We were talking about your line for a while.
Can we make this session an hour long instead? I love that idea.
So, Tiff, we were talking about creating the line. What did you
want to
talk
about? To Westman. What was that process like for you? I imagine as a makeup artist, you know how product works. You've handled a lot of different brands before. So what was the process like creating your own brand and your own
products? The process initially was a little bit slow, I'm not going to lie. And I remember my husband said, you need an office. So we get an office in Chelsea that actually Grace Coddington took over for me. And he said, ideas, everything's going to come to you in the office. And I remember sitting there going.
Why did he think it would come to you in the office? Like versus
he just thought I would be able to kind of process everything, you know, in this space that was calm and surrounded with things that I put there for inspiration. And it was, I remember kind of being torn between starting with skincare or makeup because I always have felt so strongly about skincare. Mm-hmm. And I remember Bobby Brown saying to me, what are you crazy? You have to start with makeup. And you know, you're known for makeup. And mm-hmm. I thought, you know, you're actually right. And I decided to hone in on this idea of the skin, mm-hmm. you know, and me being, which also used to annoy me as when people would call me for interviews and say, you're mostly known for this beautiful skin.
And it used to strike that question.
No, it's good.
But you took that and you created your own brand.
Yes, exactly. I decided, I'm just going to just hone in on mm-hmm. the skin thing. And I'm going to extend this kind of idea that I've had forever of amplifying the skin of these mm-hmm. women that I work with, actresses, models, and share that kind of journey and how do people do that on themselves. And it's edited, it's simple, it's intuitive. And I decided then I would start with a complexion system.
Mm-hmm. And, what's the complexion system?
Well, I wanted to create a lineup of an edited group of products that you need to sort of create a beautiful complexion. Mm. And then you can obviously play after that, but these are things for complexion and to create this kind of skin that I do on Jennifer Aniston and all of these people over the years and that are very simple and not complicated. And it's real women products. It's like you use on the go. And I have rosacea, and this is a big part of our brand that I think that sets us apart. You know, not only did I feel that there was a void in the market between, you know, there was a gap between luxury and natural, and I felt that I could bridge that gap. I felt like nobody's doing anything that speaks to luxury and incorporates natural ingredients or a natural concept or a clean concept. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I decided that was going to be one. Then I also wanted to focus on active ingredients being at efficacy levels instead of marketing levels. And I learned from our labs that we work with that a lot of brands use active ingredients at marketing levels. So they can state.
What does that mean?
It means that we're not being entirely honest.
So they'll put, tell me if I'm right here, like, I own my own company and I'm like, okay, this has peptides and blah, 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 blah. It doesn't have enough of those things to actually make a difference. It's just a little bit so that I can put on the tin.
In some cases, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You look so upset right now. You look like you're doing very serious news. You're like nodding like, yes.
Because I was shocked.
Eyes are closed.
Yeah, I was shocked when our labs shared that information. I was like, no way. Are you kidding? And obviously, it costs a lot more money to include these active ingredients at efficacy levels. But I want to be as transparent as I possibly can in this journey and as honest as I can. And I have this rosacea. I want something. And I know many people suffer from skin sensitivities and issues. And I want to include ingredients that will actually help the health of your skin and not simply color. I want to correct and soothe and heal. And I think we all deserve more from our products, you know? And I'm really doing the best that I can with the resources that we have today. Mm-hmm. And I can never have – the performance has always have to be – it has to be paramount. That's always the bottom line, that it can't be, you know, like some of the organic lines or products that I've tried. You know, they're pretty when you put them on and then you leave the house and you come back and you're like, wait, where did all my makeup go? And it's suddenly gone.
They don't have payoff.
Well, or the lasting power. I needed to be able to trust and rely on the results, you know?
I think you definitely got that with your brand. And you've also mentioned that it's very edited. Mm-hmm. Is that part of the reason you only have 3 brushes? And tell me a little about your brushes. I know they're pretty special.
Yeah, the brushes. I'm in love with the brushes. As a young makeup artist, I used to always save my money and buy Shu Uemura brushes. Mm-hmm. And back then, I used to buy the Sable brushes because I didn't know any better. Mm-hmm. And now I would
The Sable is not cruelty-free. It's quite cruel.
Yeah, so I would never, ever participate in any of that ever again. I feel bad still that I, you know, but now I'm making up for it because our brushes are sustainably made by the oldest brush maker in Japan. And they're a blend of nylon and synthetic fibers, which is the best kind of option that you can have it in my mind, in my opinion. And I always just look to myself for my own judgment because I'm a pretty harsh critic.
And it's a really great story behind that too, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it was a dream to work with Hakuhodo, who makes our brushes, because they make the most beautiful brushes. They come when we get our brush samples, they come with a little sticker and a handwritten note.
Oh my gosh.
It's so special. I mean, we lose money on our brushes daily because they're so expensive to make. But I don't care.
So
I think
that's the thing to buy.
Yeah, that's the thing to buy.
Get yourself a Westman brush.
Yeah, they're pretty great.
So let's talk a little bit about your makeup tips. I've heard that you're known to use multiple shades of foundation. Mm-hmm. Is there a reason why, and why do you do that?
As I think the way I like to see skin is with a little bit more dimension and not looking like it's one tone, because then you immediately, it's a giveaway that it's all foundation.
Right.
But if you incorporate multiple shades, then you can kind of trick people a little bit and it can feel like it's more skin-like. So it's almost like amplifying your skin, maintaining a little bit of the integrity of your own skin whilst evening it out, but in more of a dimension kind of concept.
So which colors would you just take the two, like your color and then one lighter, or your color and then one darker, or the two that kind of are?
I mean, I've really incorporated my makeup artist philosophy when I do that. So when I do makeup on people, I usually use 2 to 3 shades. That's kind of just how I've always done makeup. I started doing makeup with using sticks, and I find them very easy, very malleable, and you don't. I like also fluid, but it has to be really good. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like as a starting point, I wanted to begin with sticks because that was how I learned to do makeup. I also find that you get a little bit of excess sometimes with the fluid, and I didn't want to. I wanted everything to be like precise to begin with. But I use, sometimes if I want a little bit of a warmer finish, I might use, we have, you know, Roman numerals, or they're numbered. And for myself, I'll do maybe a 2 and a 4. because I want a bit of warmth, but I use the two around my kind of under eye area, you know, right. This kind of triangle in the middle of your face.
Yeah, and then, the upside down triangle.
And then, but not precisely.
Yeah.
And then I patch in the deeper shade around the perimeter of my face, and then I work them together.
Oh, cool.
It's very
That's a great
intuitive.
Tip. Yeah.
And it's not, doesn't look like you're sort of caked in in foundation.
I'm willing to try that.
It's really not complicated. It's very, it's just consider one as your concealer and one as your, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what for you is the most important step in your beauty routine, like apart from foundation, or what's the most underestimated step that we should probably start including?
The most underestimated step, I think it's really taking the time to prepare your skin before you actually, I mean, it's your canvas, you know, your face. And I do think when you spend extra time and you exfoliate, you do a mask, you do consistent facials, the quality of your skin is still going to be there.
Right.
You know, underneath everything else.
You don't need as much makeup.
Yeah. So I prefer to just kind of like really treat your skin and take care of it, you know, as much as you can. And I do, I totally sympathize with people who have skin issues because I have major skin issues. So I by no means have great skin, but I can fake it a little bit more.
With great skincare and great makeup.
Yeah. I mean, I try, but I do also, you know, regularly have facials and I have,
Where
I do my own.
Facials?
I go to a few people. I have an amazing, amazing woman who I love, who actually is in London. But when she comes here, I see her. She does Fascia Release, which is a different kind of concept.
What's her name?
Anastasia.
Oh, okay.
You've got to talk to
her.
Okay. I mean,
Fascia Release,
she just gives you a
very
facelift.
Relaxing. Oh, wow.
It blows your mind.
Does she work out of a studio in New York when she comes?
No, she usually has a hotel room or something, so you just go to her. But I met her through Gwyneth Paltrow because she was doing her before her wedding.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
And we were both staying in the same house and before her wedding. So she gave me a treatment, and I was like, oh, my God. And I looked 20 years younger, I swear. I was like, wow, what did you do?
I'm convinced.
Yeah, so she does, but she doesn't do things like extractions, but she does so much lifting and tightening. And
well, Gwyneth really knows her stuff.
Exactly. So if Gwyneth is using her every day or whenever, you know, not every day, but. And then I also love Denuda at Rescue Spa and Georgia Louise.
God,
a long term. I haven't been to Joanna.
Check.
Yeah. I haven't had the pleasure yet, but I've heard great things.
So let's talk about what you said you love great skincare, great facials. We know you use your line, but what are like some of the products you use every day in your life? Whether skincare or, you know, hair care, what are your must-haves?
I'm
the Gucci edit.
Yeah, I'm really into also supplements. I think that they make a big difference if you're kind of responding to what your body needs and is calling for. I think you can see a difference a little bit in just your mood and your overall
brightness. Is there a supplement you like?
I mean, I actually have quite a few supplements I'm taking at the moment that I get from a doctor that I see in LA who's like a hormone specialist. But I really like Wellco has this hormone supplement that I put in. It's called Hormonal Libido, I think. It's a powder and it tastes nice. And I put it in my shake in the morning. It's also a Wellco. And I never used to like shakes.
Yeah.
But I love this Peruvian chocolate.
Oh, God, that sounds delicious.
I know. And it's so good. And I think I put so many frozen blueberries in it that it tastes like really refreshing.
That sounds like very decadent, but it's a nutritional hormone shake.
Yes. And Moon Juice has a mushroom powder that I put in the shake.
Collagen powder?
It's called, it's actually called, I think, mushroom, shroom. It's in a big
It's in the jar.
Glass.
It's in the glass jar. Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll put it all on our blog so people can shop the Gucci edit.
I mean, I'm obsessed with that.
Yeah.
And then I do
That
the
does
Moon
not have a bad
probiotic.
Taste at all.
No. So I use you know, a lot of the Moon Juice probiotic in my shake. Mm-hmm. And then I also like the Tokos. That's really great for connective tissue and joint support.
It's called,
T-O-C-O-S.
Okay.
And that's, I think it's by Sun Potion.
Okay.
Is the brand. So those are things that I kind of like put in my shake and almond butter. I use a really nice.
And you notice a difference.
Yeah. I feel more energetic and cleaner and kind of like I feel hungry when I should feel hungry and not, you know.
Not like scavenging for snacks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got you.
I mean, I just feel like, it's 1 o'clock. I should be I'm hungry now. I'm starving now, actually.
So what about skincare?
So skincare.
What are some of your skincare products you love?
It's interesting. So people send me things to try. And so I don't end up getting, I try something. I love trying things. But then I don't usually stick with it unless I feel really some type of emotional connection. I regularly use a brand now that I like a lot called Subtle Energies. It's Australian. I really like that. I like Eminence. Mm-hmm. It has a really nice, gentle exfoliant that is a powder. It's like a strawberry rhubarb dermafoliant. Lactic acid. I like a lot of sheet masks. I have to say I've alternate. I mean, I like the SK2 one. I like a biocellulose one by Suwasu. I like, what else do I try to do masks, you know, once a week.
Okay.
And I use my home devices also.
Oh, you are your device girl.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
Which one?
Go for facials. I have a Japanese one called Rantania that is microcurrent and LED light.
So you're at home just like watching TV doing this?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
So I do it like maybe once a week.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I have Georgia Louise also has like a mask, and sometimes I'll alternate between that one and that one, and it helps with the redness.
Very cool.
It calms down the redness. I also like Augustinus Bader, the rich cream.
Oh, that has so much hype right now. We're getting a lot of people. They want to know. So at least we know that you like it.
I do like it. And I really am interested in the science behind it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's pretty significant.
And we're going to talk about that on the podcast soon.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, the Augustus. I can never say his
Augustinus.
The name. Augustinus.
Augustinus
Bader. Yeah.
Bader.
Yes.
Wait, but I'm sure I like pie for an oil cleanser.
Mm-hmm. PAI.
Mm-hmm. And I like these Volition apple cider vinegar wipes that are nice because it makes my face feel like it's burning, like the Biologique Recherche P50 that you can't. I can't. And then what else do I love? I mean, I'm obsessed with skincare. I like Grown Alchemist Body. Mm-hmm. I love going to Clean Market and doing infrared and cryo. And I love doing the vitamin drips once in a while.
I mean, you grew up in like a wellness. I mean, I know you weren't getting vitamin drips at the ashram, but like you grew up in a wellness space and like you're like talking
the
talk.
Calm Pen.
Like a Bebo Calm Pen?
A Dosist.
Okay. Oh, I don't know Dosist. Okay.
Dosist vibrates when you have one.
Like a CBD thing? Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. It's a natural thing. I mean, I'm telling you, it's like I'm obsessed with, because it does actually make you feel better. I don't eat meat. I'm having a little bit of fish now, but I think I might
cut it
pretty soon.
Yeah, yeah.
And I make my own almond milk. I make my own coconut milk.
God. You lost me at the shake. I was like, that looks like a lot of stuff to put in the shake. That looks like it takes 10, 15 minutes to do.
No, it doesn't take long, and it tastes so much better, and you know exactly what's in it. There's no weird stuff.
It's all about ingredients for you.
Yeah, it really is. I want to know what's in everything, and I think we all deserve better.
Well, that is a good note to end on. Gucci, thank you so much. I think we have a shopping list. Tiffany's been writing down everything you said. Head to the blog to get your Gucci approved everything.
Oh.
And thank you so much for coming by.
Oh, God. Thank you so much for having me. I mean, I really respect you girls. And it's so nice to have these kind of chats. You know, I can tell I could just keep talking.
No, we need longer next time. Oh, my God. Gucci, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to hear it.
We hope you enjoyed the show. It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us, or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com. We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Raise a Wand product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara. If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182. Thanks so much for listening. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.